The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where this week, as every week, we're working our fingers to the bone to bring you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And today, we're going to talk about the somewhat narrow but doable path of creating a rental portfolio with none of your own cash in it at the end. And we're also probably going to talk a little bit about the market, because interesting things are happening in the market right now. But first, the usual, got to get it out of the way, housekeeping announcements. The Real Estate Investors Association of Greater Cincinnati has its nationwide online meeting tomorrow night. And the topic is one that, I don't know, probably going to be of interest to a lot of people. How I'm finding my deals today. It is a panel of five active real estate investors, some wholesalers, some retailers, some folks who own rental properties or are looking to buy rental properties, and who are successfully doing that, talking about their best way right now of finding good deals. And they all have different ways of doing it. It's really interesting. I've talked to each of the panelists, and I thought I was going to just be hearing the same thing over and over, and nope, they're all doing it in slightly different ways. So that meeting is online, which means that you can attend it if you are listening to this show from anywhere in the country. I mean, because if you're listening to it someplace other than Cincinnati, you're already online. So you can do this too. It's CincinnatiRIA.com. That is Cincinnati with, okay, only one T at the end. I'm just going to spell it. I've gotten two emails today from friends who asked me how it was going in CINCINNATTI. It's not TT. CINCINNATTIREIA.com is that website. So joining me today to work out what the path might be to a rental portfolio that you have no cash in by the time the dust settles, is Mr. John Hayes from FlippinLoan.com. John is a real estate investor himself and also a very experienced at this point private money lender, and he is joining us from his home in Kentucky. John, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Vina, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on.
I didn't even have to tell them you lived in Kentucky as soon as you opened your mouth. They probably all
went, right.
That guy is not from the Midwest, is he?
Yeah. Down here in Louisville, Kentucky.
I appreciate you joining me, and to kind of set the stage here for folks, tell us about how you got into the business and position that you are in right now. Tell us about your history a little bit.
Yeah. Really, I tell you, from the get-go, they kind of molded me into exactly what I am today. So from as far back as I can possibly remember, I was dragged around to all kind of different things within this real estate arena. My father is a real estate broker, buy and hold guy from the beginning of his time. My grandfather bought and held real estate from the beginning of his time and also was an active real estate broker. And then I married into a family that basically has created a family fund for about going into about our 33rd year in all now. Also, long-time buy-and-hold folks. We've done a little bit of everything that you can think of in the real estate arena. I myself Do have a real estate broker's license in the state of Kentucky. Spend the majority of my time, and kind of did from the beginning, what's always interested me was the real estate investment scene. And so what I've kind of become from my roots being surrounded by nothing but guys that are in this real estate arena, the beauty in that is not necessarily folks sitting you down and putting a finger in your face and saying, hey, here's exactly what you do. It's really quite the opposite. You've been able to sit back from the time you were a child all the way until now, having a glimpse into everybody's playbook, and you don't just learn a whole lot about what to do. You really learn a whole lot about what not to do. And really what it's all wrapped up to become now, where I'm 41 years old almost, is I sit back and I think to myself, of everything that I've had exposure to in this real estate arena, what do I truly see as just being the best odds and longest path to winning in real estate? And I just genuinely believe that that is holding on to real estate long term. And everybody that I've seen do this stuff that's had great success, they can't make enough earned income to fund this stuff to a high level. And a high level for one guy may be 10 properties, and that's a big deal. And the next guy may be 5,000 doors. Anything from the 10 doors on up, it's very tough to do that utilizing your own money. So where that brings us today is I kind of sit in the chair of facilitating deals all day, every day, that allow folks to maneuver around with the goal being use as little to none of your cash as possible. And just basically the old saying of use other people's money. And that's what we've created. We're doing that right now all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you said more than 10 doors is hard to... It's hard to get into more than 10 doors if every time you have to put or leave your own cash in it. There was actually a talk at the summit that was, the name of the talk was Hard Money is Cheaper Than Cash. And the theme of the talk was, your cash is limited, hard money isn't limited. Like there's always another hard money lender who can put money into your deal. And so you're actually losing money by investing your own cash when that could be being used for reserves. It could be being used for some other deal, for down payment on something else. And it was a really interesting mathematical argument that money at 13-14% is actually cheaper than using your own cash at theoretically 0%. When you look at the lost opportunities.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
John, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, going to start tracing out what this looks like in today's market with higher interest rate, higher prices, limitations on conventional loans, all of that sort of stuff. If y'all listeners, well, listen to me. I've been talking to you for 10 minutes and I'm like, y'all, if y'all listeners want to, ask any questions of John, our number here in the studio is 877-772-9658. I'm going to repeat it because I know that's a lot of sevens. 877-772-9658. Or alternatively, you can send us an email. That email address is vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. My guest today is John Hayes from flippinloan.com. And our number here in the studio, if you have questions, is 877-772-9658. Or you can send an email to vinaradio@gmail.com with any questions that you have. Okay, John. So 2.5 years ago, and for about 5 or 7 years before that, there was a lot of talk about this idea of BRRRR, you know, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. And there was a lot of stuff that went around that. Like it wasn't just, oh, that's what you do. There was this whole thing about buy properties according to the 1% rule. So in other words, it doesn't matter how much you pay for the property as long as it will rent for 1% per month of what you paid. And then get hard money to buy it and rehab it and then rent it and then go get a 3% loan was what was being offered at that time. And you can't lose. Like it's all going to be perfect and you just do it over and over again. that all sort of fell apart when interest rates went up to, gosh, at one moment, 9% for investors.
Mm-hmm.
And property prices continue to increase for a couple of those years. So like the 1% rule, just like it just didn't work anymore. You still think that there is a path. It's maybe not, you know, a hugely wide path, but it's a path that to ending up, you know, buying a property now and ending up with a rental that you don't have your own cash in.
Right.
Outline the path for us.
So the main thing that you want to start with, if you're an individual trying to put this together, is you want to really reverse engineer this scenario. So you want to get to the permanent financing, in my opinion, first. And you want to have the conversations there to wrap your head around where you stand as the individual that's going to end up with this property the way that it's going to be laid out and as we're going to describe here. So you get to your bank that offers mainly what you're looking for, and there are banks that do this. It's not just these brokerages that exist out here today that are doing DSCR loans. There are banks out here that offer essentially what you first want to ask is, do you have an unseasoned amount of time as an option to obtain lending with your institution? And what that means is there the ability for me, if I have a property that I own already, is there, but I've only owned it for a matter of a few days or a few weeks, is there the ability for me to obtain permanent financing with your lending institution for 30-year fixed financing in an unseasoned amount of time, meaning I have owned it for less than 6 months, is traditionally what a bank is going to call a seasoned amount of time. All right, now these folks exist out there. There's tons of brokerages, DSCR paths. We'll get into that. Essentially, where you want to start is to understand what that is going to look like and then work this thing backward. Okay, so what I'm saying is don't hear what I'm talking about, because the private money is the tool that we are using to get to the permanent money. So don't listen to what I'm saying and just say, oh, all I got to do is go find a private lender that will give me 100% financing, because it can absolutely be easier to get money from folks like me than it is the bank or some of these brokerages. They're going to have a lot more rules. So you don't want to jump in too awful early. You want to wrap your head around, what am I going to use to get rid of the private money? Because the private money, hard money scene is expensive. Whether you're talking to me or any other people in the United States, there's tons of options. We're all expensive.
But expensive and short term.
Short term, we're all, you know, traditionally going to be 1 year and less, and interest rates are going to look at a broad swipe across the country. You're going to see interest rates anywhere from 10% on up to 16% on average. You're going to see different fees and charges within all of that. And I would say an average good number to expect is going to be a 14-15% total once you kind of map everything out and say, what did that money actually cost me? Now, that said, when you put this play in motion, my general rule for myself and my buddies that are doing this on repeat, I want to be able to get to the permanent financing in less than 90 days every single time, or I'm not going to buy that property. So it is absolutely true that when we look at the piece of real estate that we are doing this with, we're not going to Beverly Hills and plugging these in. You're not going to go out here and buy a $500,000 piece of property with no money into it, and it rents for, you know, $4,500, and you're going to pay the difference, and man, I look at this daggone house that I just bought. That doesn't work. These are investor loans that are going to have to do the math at the end. So where these plug in best are your neighborhoods that are kind of up and coming, or your stuff that is going to be categorized in your city is kind of your starter home types of neighborhoods. All right, so You essentially have to find a private lender wherever you're located that can wrap their head around giving you full 100% financing. And what that means is you want the full purchase price lended to you, and you want the entire rehab budget lended to you. You also want any costs and any fees that are going to be associated with this private lender to be rolled in to this loan that you are doing with them. What's going to happen is the private lender is going to create a note You're going to have a you're going to owe them money, and the note is going to spell out how much money that it is that you owe them. This is where the kind of secret sauce is taking place that's allowing you to maneuver to the real bank in order to get rid of the private money. Because essentially what is happening is you buy the house at 100% of the purchase. Oftentimes, the way you would like for this to be set up, you're going to get your first construction draw. So let's say you had a $50,000 budget for construction and a $100,000 purchase. Just as good round numbers. So $150,000 is going to be what is reflected in the note. It will not be the $100,000 purchase. It will show $150,000. The reason that that is key is going back to the permanent financing. That bank at the end is going to look at this and say, oh, well, you already have a mortgage on this property, and it's for $150,000. Because you have that mortgage on this property of $150,000, we, the real bank, will give you a loan at no more than 80% of a new appraisal that we're going to do. And because this is an unseasoned amount of time, meaning you've done this in less than 6 months, you've not owned this house for 6 months, we are only going to give you what is in that note, not to exceed what is in that note. And the appraisal has to support that we also are not giving you more than 80% of the appraised value. All right, so that is the snapshot of what we are creating. Now, in doing this, we have to plug in the right piece of real estate. You're not going to be able to go in and buy a turnkey piece of real estate because you have to be adding value to this property. Because keep in mind, you're going to use private lending to buy it, but you're going to be turning around in no time at all and asking the bank to give you a loan on a piece of property that you've owned no time. So the appraiser for the real bank is going to show up. They're going to see that you bought it no time ago. You're going to show up. You're going to show him how rough this place was when you bought it, which is pretty much always going to be the case. You're going to show them step by step everything that you did to this property. None of it's fluffed. You borrowed every bit of the money in order to make all of these changes. It looks great when they see the place. You also have the place leased out already. They're going to get a copy of your lease. They're going to look at all this and they're going to say, man, this looks great. So now when they go to run comparables for your new appraisal, they're looking at it and saying, hey, this place looks so good that we are going to compare this to all of the stuff that is the better things in this neighborhood, not the worst things, because it really is one of the better things in the subdivision. So at the end of the day, if you borrow 100% of the purchase and 100% of the rehab, plug in the right piece of property, all right, and then get it leased out, get a tenant in there. A lot of these properties that we're plugging this into, these are 1,200, 1,500 square foot and less, size-wise, so you're talking one bath, sometimes two baths. We're doing all the basic stuff that you see done on any flip in America. LVP flooring, tile where it should be, bathrooms are getting gutted, all the plumbing is getting ripped out and redone. You are genuinely bulletproofing this thing for a 15-year run. Now, remember when I said at the beginning of the show, I said some of the things that I learned along the way were not necessarily just the things to do. They were also the things not to do. So the back-in-the-day path, when guys would buy these properties and we had easy financing that we could get to, so many guys would buy this exact property that I'm talking about, and they would not do the strip all of the plumbing out and redo it and really do this house right for a 15-year run. And what would happen is when they acquired 15 houses 7 years later, they've got problems all over the daggone place. We are doing this where when we are borrowing this money at 100% and we know that these things are going to just squeak by, when we go get permanent financing, these aren't printing money day one. We are not making a ton of money monthly off of these things. So some folks would argue, well, dang, what's the point? You know, why do all this? Well, what's going to happen, 7 years passes in no time. Now, not only are we cash flowing, but we have a bulletproofed house that doesn't have a bunch of problems. We really went in there and mitigated every single thing that we possibly could think of early on and made a perfect little box that's ready for a 15-year run. So in borrowing all this money at 100%, it's creating a pathway to not using your cash if you plug in the right properties. It's also allowing you to not cut costs anywhere. You're not looking at the windows and saying, they're not that bad. No, they are pretty bad. They're bad enough. Rip them out and put new ones in. We're bulletproofing. So the gist of getting to the 100% financing, I think, is the individual needs to be pretty solid. You're going to need – the private lender is going to look at you. You're going to need legitimate credit scores. We work off of a 650-plus credit score. We personally do look at a tax return. Some of your private lenders will not. We look at 2 years' tax returns. We look at 2 months' bank statements. What we are really gauging when we are giving you 100% financing is we want to know that you, for your own sake and ours both, you have parachutes that you can pull. If you've got a home equity line of credit set up, that's a positive, a very big positive, because what if this happens? You get through your entire rehab. You've done everything. You have rolled out all of your draw money. You now have no rehab money left. You start flushing the toilets and running the showers and running the sink, and the water starts backing up. When you bought that property, you didn't run a camera on that main plumbing line. Now, all of a sudden, you got water backing up, and you do run a camera. And the plumber says, John, you've got a crack out there in the middle of the yard, and it's about 7 foot deep. You're in a busy area. You got to have a permit. You got to do this legit. Now you need a trench box. You might as well take out this tree, which roots got into the main plumbing. And you need to replace all this line. Well, that's an $8,500 bill. Well, if I do 20 of these deals, I can almost guarantee you that is going to happen at least once. Well, that's $8,500. So you better have a line of credit or some cash or something somewhere for the just in case something happens scenario. So although we are laying out a plan to do 100% deals, we as private lenders, and I think anybody that would sit in my chair across the country when they hear or think of maybe doing a 100% deal for someone, especially if it's not somebody that they have a long relationship with, they're really going to want to see that you are pretty solid on paper. A good solid W-2, you know, you don't have to be making $100,000 a year, but a good solid W-2 where you've shown up to the same place all the time for the last 12 years, that says a lot to me. That says to me that if you got a good credit score and you've been doing that and you're making all your payments, Come a bad storm, you're going to figure your way out of it because you're not going to let your credit get destroyed and lose what you got over this one house. So the private lender is going to pull the reins back a little bit. They're always going to make sure that you're really set up to handle this. At least we are. And it's going to create you a pathway to getting to building you a portfolio without touching your cash potentially.
Okay, John, we're going to go back and we're going to unpack some of the stuff you just said. But first, we do need to take a break and also invite listeners once again, if you have any questions about all that stuff John just said, that traced out a path to getting into rental properties with none of your own money, give us a call at 877-772-9658 or just send an email to vinoradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I am your host, Vina Jones-Cox. I am not so terrified by the idea of snow that I can't say the word, that I have to spell it out like it was a profanity.
Bad.
But I also question how much, you know, actual snow. Are you a member of the Panic Weather Mafia news people who are like, if we're going to get like a half an inch of snow, it's 3 days of, oh my God, there's going to be a blizzard. No, because you're not an official weatherman. That's why.
Publicly.
You're just reading what the National Weather Service sends you. So, talking today to John Hayes from flippinloan.com about a possible way that you can use. Okay. So let's back up a second. There's all kinds of ways to have a $0, your dollars in it rental portfolio, but all the other ways involve creative financing and partners. And I know a lot of you guys, no matter how much you hear about that, you're like, it's too complicated. I want a way where it's just a cookie cutter. I can go to the same upfront lender and the same backend lender every single time and just boom, 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 do them one after another. And that's where it's really y'all that we're talking to. You creative finance people are going, well, why wouldn't I just buy that property subject to the existing loan and get a partner to bring in the rehab money and then we'll just own it together for the rest of our life? I like that way too. But it's not a cookie cutter, is it? Like you can't guarantee that this week you can find that property. So John, I just kind of want to walk back a little bit onto through some of the things you said to make sure they're super clear, because like we're throwing out a lot of percentages here. We're like, oh, there's 80%, 100%, and you said the first step to this is start with the end lender.
Right.
And you said some words that I want to say again so that people can write them down. You're looking for a lender who will do unseasoned, permanent, 30-year fixed rate financing. That's the, if I'm calling up a bank and talking to their loan department, that's what, those are the words I want to say. Do you do unseasoned, permanent, 30-year fixed rate financing? And probably you should add to that on investment properties, because
correct,
might be a different story if you were a homeowner.
And correct.
And what you're looking for there, in addition to do you do them, is what are your terms for them? Because you, what you described was a non-cash out refi. What's called a non-cash out refi? I don't want to take out extra money. I just want to be able to pay off the loan that I'm going to have when all of this ends. And I know some banks will, they'll do 80%, some will only do 75, 70. And that number, you know, how much of a refi will you do, is going to drive something that we didn't really get into in this description, which is how much are you paying for the property?
Correct.
Because once you know what the end financing looks like, that tells you what your offer has to be. if the answer is, oh, we'll do an 80% unseasoned refi, well, then my purchase price plus rehab plus the cost of that first loan can be up to, well, probably, it's probably dangerous to do 80, isn't it? It's probably dangerous to be like, okay, well, I'll hit the offer right at 80%. Probably maybe want to do a little less than that.
Yeah, the permanent financing that I'm looking for is going to allow me to go to 80% of a new appraisal. And to your point, the unseasoned amount of time is critical, because that's what's going to allow me to get rid of the private financing quickly, mm-hmm. which everybody should want to do, because again, the interest rates are not built for long term. So the rule boxes are going to vary across the country with permanent financing, but the one I'm looking for is allow me to operate in an unseasoned amount of time at 80% of a new appraisal. And when you're doing this in an unseasoned amount of time, you can just about guarantee, you can't guarantee anything in this world, but you can just about guarantee that any of these institutions are not going to allow you in a, you know, 60-day period to borrow money back out. So the traditional BRRRR, when it's thought of or explained on the internet, is that when you are going to do your refinance, you are going to pull out cash, not just because you're trying to go gamble it or do something crazy, but because you may have acted as your own general contractor for the last, you know, 5 months. And so rightfully so, you want to pay yourself with that tax-free borrowed money, and you want to continue to go on, or you may pull equity out to make your next move. Our theory in doing this is kind of, you know, there's a lot of different angles that we're looking at as calling positives in comparison to plenty other ways of doing this thing. We have a job. You know what I mean? I broker hard money, and I do it underneath of our own umbrella, but that is my day-to-day job. I earn income there, and that's what pays my bills. Okay, on the buy and hold property, I want these properties to get paid down. I don't really go in and refinance these properties. In the old traditional thinking, in the way we see it, is that once I'm a guy that has 6, 10, 12 properties, oh man, some time has passed. Now I've got equity. I'm going to go pull all that equity out, and that's how I'm going to double up or triple up. Well, now I owe more. I've got more debt. I've got less value on the properties that I just had paid way down. This path allows me to avoid ever going back in and pulling equity out. I am using for my private lender the fact that I got a couple of paid for pieces of real estate or paid way down real estate to prove, like, hey, look at my resume. I look pretty good. Can you please give me 100% financing? All right. And then when they give me that 100% financing and I am obtaining a new loan for that property, it just goes into the bucket. And while that one is now a new mortgage, my other ones that I bought 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years ago, they're paying down and paying off, and I'm not re-tapping and pulling the equity back out. So it's to me, there are a lot of advantages to doing it this way where, yes, I cannot pull out in an unseasoned amount of time money to pay myself. Now, if I wait 6 months, I can. But if I want to do this in less than 6 months, which is always my goal, I can't pay myself. I can't pull extra money out. They're only going to give me what exists in that note. So your permanent financing, want to mainly find somebody with the unseasoned ability and they also going all the way up to 80% of a new appraisal, because the numbers are going to be tight here. You're not going to have, you know, something that you owe 150 total on and it's worth 350,000. Those are once in a blue moon deals. Most of these are going to be pretty tight on numbers.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's also, because you in that section you mentioned, you said banks, and then you said, and also DSCR lenders. So let's talk
right.
about, because there is yet another requirement with DSCR lenders. It needs to appraise.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to appraise at enough that you're only taking out 80%.
Right.
There's also, the reason it's called a debt service coverage ratio, that's what DSCR stands for. The reason it's called a debt service coverage ratio loan is because that kind of lender, who's very easy to find, they're actually oftentimes easier to get loans from than banks, they are looking at another number that you also have to be cognizant of at the beginning before you buy the property.
Correct.
And that's the debt service coverage ratio. So can you explain what that is, and like how would I calculate it? I'm at the beginning. I haven't bought the property yet. I want to get a DSCR loan. How am I going to do that calculation to know that I can get one?
So the way that I'll, like, you know, as I'm quickly giving an elevator speech on this, I will say out loud, hey, you want to make sure that the daggone payment is going to be less than the rent. And the gist of it is that. Now, the traditional, hey, I want 1% return on my money, and that makes it a good deal that I can stomach and continue to scale in that way. That's still the general concept here. But the general number that you're going to see with your DSCR brokers is going to be about a 1.25% return that they're going to want to see, meaning your lease is going to be the, you know, going to provide them a value that they can look at and see that return on above what your payment is. So, you know, if I I'm down here in Louisville, Kentucky, and we've got properties that I can go and buy down here for $80,000-ish. I can put $25,000 into that house. It will appraise out for $150,000-$160,000. It will rent for $1,400. Let's say my payment ends up around $900-something.
And is that principal and interest only, or is that principal interest, taxes, and insurance, that $900?
Usually I am not escrowing much of anything ever. So just my principal and interest payment. They're going to look at that, and that's going to be a no doubt it works, no problem. There are other ways and there are other banks, but the DSCR program in general is going to say that we want about a 1.25 return, which is related directly to your lease. So to Vina's point, when you go to analyze these pieces of property, you have to not just consider what is the value going to be in terms of what's it going to be worth when I get done doing all of my rehab. That's kind of, sometimes that can be the easier number to figure out. The other number is exactly to the point. How much is this thing going to lease for? In a lot of these areas where I'm buying property, there are rental houses across the street from some of mine that are leased as low as, you know, $825, but I'm across the street getting $1,295, you know, for a very similar sized home. Difference being it looks really, really good and people are willing to pay more because it's a really nice house. So to your point, yes, you need to always know what that property is going to lease for if your plan is to take it to a DSCR, a broker that, to Vina's point, is very easy to find. That money is all over the United States available for sure, and it is easy to obtain. They're going to look at 2 years tax – they're going to look at 2 months bank statements. They're going to look at a copy of your lease. They're going to do a pull on your credit. Mostly, if you're 740 plus on your credit, that's going to give you kind of premium pricing on average. I've seen those done this year at all the way down to as low as barely 620. So you've got a wide range of folks that can fit into those programs. The better your credit score, the better your rate. Those loans are traditionally going to have a prepayment penalty on them.
Mm-hmm.
A very average prepayment penalty that you would see would be 3 years. You'll see them anywhere from no prepayment penalty up to 5 years. You typically will not see them more than that. So these aren't necessarily the best loans to obtain, but they are repeatable ones, because what they are going to look at on your bank statement is they're going to consider just this one property, not the four others that you bought last month. They're going to look at just this one property and say, hey, does this individual have 6 months worth of reserves in a bank account to cover this property if all of a sudden it is no longer leased? And so folks across America are getting to these types of loans on purpose, not necessarily because they think it's the best loan that they can get. It is just the place where brokers exist that understand what it is that we are doing. And we, as investors, have kind of across the board looked at these loans and said to ourselves, you know what, if it works on these rates and these terms today, I think I got a fine little product, because time's going to pass and at some point I will refinance. We all hope that rates continue to go down a little bit. And if they work on these rates and terms and it's 30-year fixed, it's not going to go anywhere on me, let's do it. And mm-hmm. they will just allow us to repeat these and repeat these and repeat these. So the DSCR really is a tool that allows you to maneuver and pair this private money with the DSCR, creating the path of exactly what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take one last break, and then we are going to come back to some listener questions that have come into the email box. You can also ask your questions either by calling 877-772-9658 or by sending an email to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox, and my guest today is John Hayes from flippandloan.com. We're going to listener questions now. Got one from Jennifer in West Virginia. She says, what is the typical rate for a DSCR loan?
I'd say today, you see them advertised very often on the internet as low as like 6.1% today. And to be honest with you, folks that I see with primo credit scores, good everything, they're not getting them at those rates.
Yeah.
I would say a good solid number to go off of is somewhere between 7.25 and 7.5 today.
And of course, that's a moving target. If you're listening
exactly.
to this show, if you're listening to this show anytime other than November of 2024, and you're going, he's crazy. they're 5
you're
or
right.
they're 10. It's because the question was, right now, what are they? So pretty much in line with conventional rates, you know, a little bit higher. But the thing, Jennifer, about the DSCR loans that I have found when I've compared those to like a small portfolio lender or even a conventional loan is that the costs to get the loan are much higher. And of course, there's the prepayment penalty that John mentioned, which continually surprises people. John, I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to that have said, yeah, I decided I don't want this rental after all. I'd like to sell it to you. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I can buy it subject to your existing loan, but I need to actually see your existing loan. And then I look at it and I'm like, you realize you're 2 years in and there's a 3-year prepayment penalty. And you're going to have to pay an extra 5% just to get out of this loan. Like, oh my God, no. And it's like, well, hopefully you knew it when you closed. Maybe you've forgotten it, but hopefully you actually read the loan documentation when you close.
To the point that you're making there, Vina, be very, very aware, all the guys listening out here, be very, very aware that these DSCR loans are being brokered by tons and tons and tons of people who are completely unlicensed. We would have to have 10 more shows to go into all the different things surrounding these DSCR loans, but just keep this in mind. Almost anyone can sign up to be a DSCR broker, which I know sounds wild at a glance, and It is in a lot of ways. But what I'm getting at is, to the point Vina's making where she then looks at somebody's deal that they've maybe already done or getting ready to pull the trigger on, and the person that they're talking to makes everything sound good, just be very aware that almost anybody can do these loans, and so you've got to do your own homework and know what it is that you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand what you're looking at, ask somebody, because those
absolutely.
I have never seen such long documentation as those DSCR loans. I mean, they look like commercial loans that you would get on a 20-story office building. They're 27 pages long, and then 18 other pages that you have to sign
absolutely.
As well.
To be completely honest with you, that's another reason why I like using some of the bank options that I've got, because these are licensed individuals that are held to a standard that, have some solid options that they can't put me in a trick bag on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not to diss any DSCR lenders, because there's some really reputable, good, I mean, they will sit down and they'll educate the heck out of you before they'll even take your loan application. It's just a little bit Wild Westy out there. And incidentally, if you see one of those people on the internet saying, I have money available for any kind of real estate project at only 5% interest, that's just a straight up scam. That's not even
right.
Somebody offering, saying, oh, this is the lowest rate we have. No, that's just a straight up scam. They're going to ask you
absolutely.
For money to apply, and then you're never going to hear from them again.
Yeah. And some of the best brokers of this money that I do know also at the same time, to your point, are unlicensed individuals that are full-on brokers that are so knowledgeable in this lane and will sit down and take their time with you and are very good options as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got to know who you're dealing with and what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reputable. That's the important word. Have other people had really good experiences with them? Okay, question from Daniel. He says, I have actually talked to a number of private lenders about financing me on my first deal, and I find that they mostly don't want to work with brand new investors. Is there some way for somebody who is new to this game to do what he's talking about?
Absolutely. I would say one of the things that you want to ask as you're kind of interviewing private lenders, and I think this is a critical piece to your puzzle here, is do you have a cash drawer? So much of the private lending space, hard money space, is being brokered. And so the individual may hear what I'm talking about. They may totally understand what it is that you're trying to get accomplished, and they just don't have that option, because at the end of the day, the money is not theirs. So I think one of the places that you can kind of cut out some of the questions is you can just go straight to them and, hey, do you have a cash drawer that you pull from at all? And that is going to be a critical piece, in my opinion, to making this play happen, especially for someone who is brand new, because that's going to allow me, for example, we do have a cash drawer that we'll pull from. That allows me to really, as long as Chris, my father-in-law, owns our operation, Chris McCarty, started it years and years ago. When I bounce something off of Chris and we take an application, we look at the individual and we look at the property itself. And if we've had a conversation, we can actually have a real-life conversation and just say, you know what, this individual, we feel good about it, sounds good, sounds like he or she knows what they're doing, they've got some help, they've got some friends in the background, they're not going to fail, let's do it. So we absolutely are open-minded to dealing with folks on a first-time deal, but that doesn't mean that everybody will be.
So I think what you should take from that, Daniel, is keep looking. It's not that all, there's no such a thing as all private lenders. There is such a thing as like all Fannie Mae lenders. I mean, everybody who lends with Fannie Mae has a set of rules they have to follow. Private lenders don't have a set of rules that they have to follow that is the same for all private lenders. So keep looking. Mike says he talked about having a W-2 job and having cash reserves. Is there any way to get around that, for instance, having a partner who co-owns the property who has a W-2 job and cash reserves?
Absolutely. We take partners on paper all the time. I've seen anything from, split ups where someone's credit gets messed up because of, personal things that we totally understand as a private lender. We still have to secure ourselves. So that individual comes to us, hey, here's what's happened in my life. This is how my credit ended up where it was, as an example. Or, hey, I'm really good at real estate, but I don't show a bunch of money on paper and totally understand that you may not deal with me directly. Here's my partner. So absolutely, one of the best ways that you can maneuver around is to have a partner on paper. You guys can have your own deal worked out, and if that individual can get us nice and secure, we're absolutely all ears.
Awesome. There's often a way to, I don't want to say get around it. Like, we're not getting around it here. We're actually putting something in place that makes the private lender feel like, okay, if the guy with the not good credit score and the not W-2 job doesn't come through, we got another guy on the hook who has those things. So, and we have two questions in the inbox that aren't actually for you, John, but I'm going to answer them anyway. They are both about the same thing, which is people who missed last week's show and are very disappointed that they missed last week's show and really want to hear it. All of the Real Life Real Estate shows, all of them are at reallifereallestate.com. And when I say all of them, I mean 10 years worth of shows are at reallifereallestate.com. And you can go back and listen to them at any time, including this one will be on reallifereallestate.com next week. So John, very much appreciate your time today. This was very interesting to me that this path still exists for the folks who meet the requirements and for the properties that meet the requirements and for the deals that were done right. And so when we get to the end, we're actually only in them for 80 cents on the dollar. Appreciate it. And maybe we'll talk again in 6 months and see if it's still true.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for your time, John. Do not forget that tomorrow night is the Cincinnati RIA National Online Meeting. Topic is how to find deals. That's cincinnatirea.com. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.